Hello, welcome to the Thursday, August 27th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Brad got another update for us from a gang that is distributing Tesla Crypt 2.0, a piece of ransomware. Now, a couple of weeks ago, he talked about how this particular group lately used the Neutrino exploit kit instead of Angler. Well, looks like that experiment didn't work too well for them. They're back to the Angler exploit kit, and with that, well, back to their old ways. Pratt does have the usual indicators of compromise here, and also how to identify whether it's Angler or Neutrino, things like domain names and URL patterns that you may be interested in if you're trying to find infected hosts. The end effect of this particular infection is the usual crypto ransomware, so you will be presented with encrypted files on your system. In order to pay up, you will have to transfer some bitcoins to a bitcoin address, 2.4 bitcoins, which I think right now is about $600 or so, so not really cheap. And yes, it's time for default hard-coded passwords again, this time in a set of DSL routers from various manufacturers: Asus, Digicom, Observer Telecom, Philippine Long Distance Telephone, and CTE, of course, all use the hard-coded admin password of XXXX, that's four time capital X, Aircon. Now, with this password, you essentially get full telnet access to the device. The password is hard-coded, so it cannot be changed by the user. Instead, it requires a firmware update. Not sure how many of them can actually allow you to disable the telnet service as a workaround. If you have one of those routers, look for updates, or also if you have any router that does use Telnet, you may want to just give it a quick try and see if this password works. I assume there is some basic component that's sort of part of these devices that is responsible for this, and of course there may be other sort of devices that were shipped by other vendors that use that same component. And PayPal is starting to roll out a new and security-wise somewhat interesting feature where you can essentially remain logged in to PayPal. So when you log in the next time to PayPal, you may see an option that will offer you to remain logged in on this device, similar like you see this in other services. And now you will no longer be asked to enter a password if you make a payment. Now, PayPal does mitigate the risk here a little bit. They say if you do try to spend a lot of money or a lot of transactions over a short amount of time, they will ask you for your password again. Also, once you decide that this is a little bit too risky for you, you can disable this for all devices from your desktop, so you don't have to start a PayPal app or so on your phone, but just on your desktop you can essentially select that none of your devices is supposed to log in automatically anymore. In addition, PayPal will still send you an email each time you transfer money. And Palo Alto is reporting seeing some interesting malware being delivered in RTF documents. Yes, rich text format is back. Now, they're exploiting a problem in RTF parsers. The interesting part here is how they bypass ASLR. They use a couple additional vulnerabilities in order to accomplish that by, for example, loading older versions of libraries that were not compiled yet with dynamic base enabled, which of course makes them more susceptible to these attacks. The attack will result in a fully capable remote admin tool being installed on the victim's system. The command control channel is encrypted to make it a little bit more difficult to identify. And GR Security announced that it will no longer publish a stable branch of its patches, in part because of intellectual property issues with a lot of the embedded device manufacturers, which take advantage of GR Security's work and don't attribute and use it correctly. So the problem here is that you end up with embedded systems that claim to use GR Security, but do not implement it actually correctly because they never actually bother to ask for any help with these implementations. I've used GR Securities in the past a few times. It's a real neat and capable security extension to Linux. Some of the features since it was conceived have migrated into Linux proper, in particular with SE Linux and the like. But still imagine that quite a few people out there do use GR Security on their systems. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.